Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must place himself last of all and be the servant of all." Then he took a child and had him stand in front of them. He put his arms around him and said to them, "Whoever welcomes in my name one of these children welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the one who sent me." Mark 9:35-37.
Aren't kids the best? Especially our kids. I mean, I'm just saying. All right, I am so excited to be a part of the Whole Life Church family. Oh, it's been good. I won't lie, it's been like drinking from a fire hose the last 2 weeks, trying to catch up. But the staff has been so amazing. They've been so kind and so acclimating and helpful. They have gone above and beyond in making me feel at home. And last week when we had our lunch, you guys did the same thing. You made me feel at home. So thank you. I also feel at home for another reason, as many of you saw when I was introduced. My mom is here. My mom's a part of the Whole Life family, so I'm super grateful for that. And if you don't know her name's Desiree. So if you haven't met her yet, she's awesome because she's mine, so she has to be. And shout out to friends and family who came from near and far. I have people that have driven within the hour, and I have people that have driven 600 miles to be here. And so I feel super loved, and I'm very, very grateful and honored that you would come and just be present. I feel all the love. And I can't wait to get to know each one of you here. I am excited to build deeper relationship with God as we walk together. So on that note, let's pray as we start our sermon. Father in heaven, you are good and your mercy endures forever. We are so grateful for your presence here, presence with us everywhere we go, night and day. Lord, we have come here today not only to worship corporately and enjoy worshiping together, but also to grow and to hear from you. And so, Father, I pray that you help me get out of the way and that you would shine bright, that you would work in our hearts, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that we would leave this place changed. Thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I were to ask you who the greatest, most important person, we know Jesus is greatest. I have to qualify that from first service. We know Jesus is greatest, but if I were to ask you who the greatest, most important person in this church is, who would you say it is?
Albert.
That was great. Albert, he's our music director. So think about that. If I were to ask you who the greatest, most important person is in this church, who would you say? Growing up as a kid, I think I would have said my Sabbath school teachers, one of which always happened to be my mom. And I loved it. I loved having fun and doing crafts and snacks and games. And most of all, learning about God. It was a good time. So I would have definitely said my Sabbath school teachers made it the best. And then as I moved through middle school and high school, I think I would have said my friends and my choir director. I would have said my friends because who doesn't want to hang out with their friends, like everywhere they go, especially when you're in middle school and high school? But second, my choir director, who's here today, by the way, and she's awesome, because she made a difference in my life. You poured into me, you loved me, you made me feel wanted and supported, and you spoke truth over me. And so I am grateful. She was one of the greatest people in my life, especially at that time. When I was in college, I probably would have said the older people of the church, because when I moved away, I had no family, no friends. I was very isolated. And I started going to a church, and the older people of that church just embraced me. They would see me on Sabbath and give me the biggest hugs, which I hadn't had because in college, like, we're hanging out, but we ain't hugging, right? And, like, they would give me meals because calf food gets old quick. And they would send me cards, and just they made me feel like family, especially when my family was so far away. And now, as I've pastored and gone to grad school and traveled over the last 9 years, I've come to a different answer altogether. So I'll ask you again, who is the greatest, most important person in this church? I dare to venture that many of us wouldn't have said the name of a child. We look at status, rank, and prominence, but Jesus is challenging us to think of greatness differently. Jesus wants us to look to children. In Mark 9, we find Jesus sitting with his disciples. Tap or turn to Mark 9 with me if you have your device or Bible. Now, in Mark 9, these are the same disciples that had just been on the road. They were walking and they were arguing. They were arguing about who is the greatest. I'm the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. Well, I did this. Well, I did that. And when Jesus turns around and said, so what were you arguing about? Silence. Nothing was said. So Jesus in Mark 9, 35 through 30, 37 says this. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not only welcome me, but the one who sent me. Jesus is calling us to flip our understanding of greatness. You want to be great? Welcome a child. You want to be considered greatest in the kingdom? Welcome them in. He's asking us to shift our focus from titles and prominence to those who are often the most humble and unnoticed. I love the picture that Jesus paints when he says he took this child into his arms. I know there's kids in this room. Kids, if you like to get hugs, raise your hand. Oh, I see hands going up. I see hands, lots of hands. Guess what? I love hugs too. And I bet that Jesus gave the best hugs. And I can't wait to have a hug from Jesus when we get to heaven. You see, the picture he paints here is that he was not standoffish. He wanted these children, and the children wanted to be around Jesus. They were loved, and they felt seen and heard. They felt welcome. What makes you feel welcome? I know I feel most welcome when I'm wanted somewhere. When I don't have to walk on eggshells and feel like I can't be myself. When I see someone or they see me and we get excited, that makes me feel wanted. It makes me feel at home. And it's the same with our children. Our children want that feeling. They want to be wanted and comfortable and loved. And here at Whole Life, I want you to know that you are wanted. I am wanted. You are welcome. And most importantly, Jesus is reminding us, we are to welcome our children. But why? Like, it's a good verse, it's in there, but why is welcoming children so crucial to Jesus? I would say a big part of it is because we're not only welcoming our children, we're welcoming God. Amen. We're welcoming God. Mark 9:37 tells us, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. When we welcome children, we are welcoming God. God identifies with the unwelcome, the ones who are forgotten. And he wants to be really clear that if you want to welcome him in, start with welcoming our children. Start with welcoming those that feel the most unwelcome. When Jesus came to this earth, everybody that was waiting for his arrival thought he would come in pomp and circumstance as a king. But he chose to come as a baby. He chose to grow up as a child, to have a childhood. He identified not with the powerful, not with those with titles, but with those who were considered less powerful and who were often unseen and unheard. The people who were overlooked, and some of these people were children. I wonder if when Jesus was sharing with his disciples, if he thought of his own childhood. If he remembered what it felt to feel welcomed, and if he also remembered what it felt like to be unwelcomed. I think of when Jesus was in the temple and he was 12. I am sure as he expounded upon scripture, people were in awe, like, this kid, whoa, who is he? How does he understand all of this? But then in the same story, I'm sure he also felt overlooked because his parents were like, where is he anyways? Like, oh man, we forgot him. We gotta go back. Jesus had felt welcome, but he had also felt unwelcome at different times. So Jesus says, we welcome him and his father when we welcome children. So how do we welcome children? How do we make this happen? Turn or tap over to Mark 10, because that's where we're gonna find our answer. Mark chapter 10 answers, how do we welcome children? Mark 10, verse 13 through 16, tells us this. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and placed his hand on them and blessed them. So our first step to welcoming children is to bring them to Jesus. Bring children to Jesus. Now, to bring someone to Jesus, as a side note, you kind of have to have met Jesus on your own first. You have to have your own journey. And while that is an entire other sermon that I would love to go into at some point, I want us to focus on our kiddos today. But if you're saying, you know, I just came here. I don't really have that relationship with Jesus. I don't know what that looks like. How in the world would I lead a child to that? Please find me. Find one of our staff. Find one of our pastors. We would love to chat with you after service. Okay? But back to the kiddos for now. Mark 13, verse A, says people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. There's two types of bringing here. There's a physical bringing and a spiritual bringing. People physically took the initiative to bring their children to Jesus. They physically brought them. I think we often assume it's parents, and I've often assumed that it's always the parents that brought their children to Jesus, and many of them probably were. But that's not the word that was chosen there. It doesn't say parents. It says people. People were bringing little children to Jesus. That implies it is not only the parents' responsibility, it is everyone's responsibility to bring our children to Jesus. We can be the auntie or the uncle. We can be the cousin or the sibling, the friend or the neighbor to the child, but they won't get to know Jesus if we don't bring them. We need to support the parents of that child as well, right? We're not just gonna be like, you're coming to church with me. No, we need to support the parents. We need to build relationships with people. We need to be a presence in this child's life. So bring them to church. Bring them to Sabbath school. Bring them to adventurers and pathfinders. Educate them in the things of God. I have watched grandparents time and time again whose own children may not be in the church bring their grandchildren faithfully. They bring them to every church event because they want to put them in places where they will have the opportunity to encounter Jesus. My friend's family befriended her neighbor. Her and her whole family befriended the neighbors. And the neighbors, they didn't really care about church, but the kids always heard from their friends how much fun it was. So my friend brought her neighbor's kids every time they went to church. She was like, we're just going to bring them and we're going to be a part of the physical bringing to Jesus. But a physical bringing isn't where it stops. There is a spiritual bringing that is noted here in the passage, right? It says, why did they bring them? So Jesus could bless them. There's a spiritual aspect there. And so, as a side note, you'll notice I often keep saying our children, because regardless if you're a parent or not, each child is here. Each child here at Whole Life is our child. We are a family to these children, to these parents, to each other. This is what we do. We are committed to bringing children to Jesus. It's core to our values. And Melanie actually shared with me this last week that each time we do a baby dedication here, we give the following charge. We give a charge to the parents, we give a charge to the family, and then we give this charge to the church at large. As the Whole Life family, do you promise to support the parents by loving the child into a lifelong friendship with God and modeling love, acceptance, forgiveness, grace, spirit-filled worship, commitment to the Bible, and wholehearted participation? And then, Lord willing, we all agree and we say, yes, amen. We agree to the charge that we will bring this child to Jesus through all that we do. Bringing them spiritually to Jesus is not a moment or an instant. It is a lifestyle. We have to bring them into his presence by what we say, what we do, where we go, how we model to them matters. Children need us to walk alongside them as they begin their own relationship with Jesus. We need to help usher them into his presence to model how to build that relationship. And so we are to bring them to Jesus and then trust Jesus with them. The second thing we can do to welcome children is to make room for them. So the first thing was what? Oh, mercy. Okay, the first thing was what? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The second thing is to make room for them. Turn to your neighbor and say, make room for them. Okay, we're going to practice some call and response because we need to make sure we're awake and listening. All right, make room for our children. Mark 10, 13 through 14 says it this way. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Picture it. People are coming from their houses, from the market, from wherever they've been, and they're bringing these children. They're bringing these children for a purpose. They want them to meet Jesus. They want Jesus to bless them. Now remember, this is Mark 10. We were just in Mark 9. And in Mark 9, Jesus said, welcome my children. And then we get to Mark 10, and the disciples are over here pulling the Heisman and stiff-arming and like, no, I'm sorry, you cannot. We do not welcome you. We are the bouncers for Jesus. Like, they're totally forgetting what they just were told. Welcome the children. No, we're not welcoming the children. Ha! Jesus' response then is perfect. It's rare, but it's perfect. It says he becomes indignant. That word is actually used really rarely in the New Testament and only a few times with Jesus. And when it's talking about him being indignant, it's not just anger, he's grieved. He is angry and grieving because he thought his disciples got it the last time and here they are again, gatekeeping for Jesus. He never asked them to do that. He said, let them come. Make room for them. He makes it easy for children to come. So how can we make it easy for children to come? How can we make room? I would say it's pretty simple. It's not some long, hard, thought-out plan. Just get to know them. Get to know our children. Invite them into conversation. Yes, they have a whole lot to say sometimes and really big imaginations, but they want to be a part. Bring them into what we're doing. Support them by showing up to things that interest them and that are important to them. give them grace. They're going to mess up. We all do. And when we mess up, model forgiveness by asking them for forgiveness. Make them feel like church and like you are a safe place for them. When I was pastoring as a children, youth, and young adult pastor in my first church, I was given some really good encouragement and advice from a church member. They said, you need to go to softball games. And I said, why do I need to go to softball games? And they said, because 35 of our children and youth are involved in these softball games every season, and you need to be present for them. And I said, I think you're right. I think that's a good idea. And so I started going to games. And every time I would go to a game, at some point, the kid would look to the bleachers looking for their parents, and I would be sitting next to the parent, and they would get so stoked. They would be so excited I was there. I didn't do anything but just show up. I got to know what was important to them, and I showed up for what was important. And if I'm honest, I don't even like softball. But I will tell you, I do love those kids. And it mattered that I went. And the more I showed up there, the more it translated to positive experiences, not only with me, but when we were in church, with how they viewed God. I made room for them in my life, which consequentially made room for them in the church. Jesus sees this point of making room so crucial that he says this in Matthew 18, verse 6. If anyone, who? If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus thought it was pretty important because this is a visual they were not soon going to forget. A large millstone in Jesus' day could weigh, how much you think, 100 pounds, 500 pounds? Sometimes it would be up to 1,000 pounds for a large millstone. The small ones were only 100. Overkill much? Did he really need to say a large millstone? Of course not. Why is he doing this? Jesus is being hyperbolic and saying, I'm going to make this so outrageous that you will not forget how unacceptable it is to hinder my children. I need you to get that welcoming them is crucial. Now, thank God for grace, because we've all made mistakes, right? We've all hindered children along the way, and thank God that he is good, that he translates it to our children, that he forgives us and he helps them understand and grow, because we're not perfect. But he wants us to take this seriously. He wants us to intentionally guard what we do and how we treat others, especially our children. So in being intentional, let's make room for them. First one was bring them to Jesus. The second one was make room. And the third one, and the final piece of welcoming our kids, is be like them. Turn to your opposite neighbor. Say, be like them. Yeah. Turn to your other neighbor. Say, be like our children. Yeah. Awesome. Mark 10, 15 through 16. Mark 10, 15 through 16 says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them and blessed them. We are to be like children. And to become like someone, you have to learn from them. Learn from the children around you. And if you're like, man, she's talking a lot about kids, but I am not having to worry about that. I don't have any. Wrong. This is an opportunity for you to bring children into your orbit and make a difference. We come from families. Maybe your family has a child. We have extended families. Maybe your extended family has children. If you don't have them there, look around. There's lots here. Get involved in Sabbath school, in Pathfinders, in adventures. Be around our children, and it will make a difference. If you're in your neighborhood and you say, man, I don't have anything I could do, but there's these kids and they always ride their bike in my driveway. offer them food. I haven't met a kid that doesn't like food. I mean, clear it with the parents first, but offer them food because who doesn't like food, right? Like, get to know the families in your neighborhood. Learn from your children. Learn from their children. Learn how they see God. Ask how they interact with him. Imagine with them. Imagine how God is seen through their perspective. Wouldn't it be cool if your kid could teach you something about God? Wouldn't it be cool if you walked into a Sabbath school class and you learned something from a little one? Children are smart. If you're a child in this room, say, I'm smart.
I'm smart.
Oh, there was like five. You are good. Yes. Amen. We're going to practice again because there's a whole lot more children that raise their hands for hugs. If you are a child in this room, say, I am smart. Perfect. Good job. All of these smart children can teach us something. We can learn from them. One key lesson I think we can learn is to trust. I am always in awe of how trusting our children are. Most children grow up in a place where they know that adult is going to be there. They know they're going to be fed. They know when they fall, someone will pick them up. They know they will be loved. And it may or may not have been our parents, but we've all had safe adults in our lives who made our lives better. And even when we fall short, children still trust imperfect parents. They still trust imperfect people. And if children can learn to trust imperfect parents, maybe we can learn from them how to trust a perfect God. Jesus is calling us to welcome our children. We welcome them by bringing them to Jesus, by making room for them, by becoming like them. When we welcome our children, we participate in growing the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I am excited to see what God is going to do through all of this. Like, let's get creative. Think outside the box. What opportunities do we have that we haven't yet had a chance to explore? I know I'm new. I have a lot to learn, a lot to learn. And so I need you to share with me. I need for us to walk together and journey and see what this could be for Whole Life. How can we build upon what we already have? Because Jesus wants us to welcome our children. So let's bring our children in. Let's make room for them and let's become like them. Let's do this together.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening and have a great week.